for members only and everyone else. Golf Smarter number 348, published on September 11, 2012, is brought to you by Bonobos, who now have two new styles of golf pants and two new golf sweaters, just in time for fall. Click on their ad at golfsmarter.com or go to bonobos.com, spelled B-O-N-O-B-O-S. If you've never shopped there before, now's a great time because every new customer receives an exclusive 20% discount off your purchase when you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
It's Golf Comedy Night with The Hacks, featuring Paul Meyerhoff.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to Golf Smarter for members only, Paul.
Hey, Fred, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back doing the show again. Hiatus made me kind of crazy, but I'm excited to have a comedian on to help break the ice.
Yeah, it's kind of weird on a golf show to have a stand-up comic, isn't it?
Well, no, you have to play golf standing up.
That's true, and you also have to laugh a lot.
Yeah, right. You have to be able to laugh a lot when you're playing golf or go home. And what better thing in the world to make fun of other than current day politics in the United States? But what better thing to make fun of than golf?
Yes, it is such a frustrating, because comedy comes from real emotions, and I think every nerve is exposed out on a golf course. So it is, there's lots to talk about and lots to laugh about.
That's interesting. You say the comedy comes from real emotions. How did where does your material come from? I mean, how do you write?
Writing for me is the most difficult part of it. I'm definitely more of a stronger performer, so I try to use real life ridiculous scenarios for my stand up. So some of my most popular bits are definitely the most popular one is a true to story about getting an adult circumcision.
Well, that's really funny.
yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for a situation that you know, usually people wouldn't even admit to it or talk about it in public, but since it's so raw, no pun intended. but I mean, it was one of the most hilarious things I've gone through in my life. So that turned in when I first started talking about it. The bit was about 15 minutes long, about this day that I got my adult circumcision done, and I think it makes for the best stand up because the audience knows it's real and also not there's no other comics that would have the same bit because it's such a true to life story.
Yeah, right. You're not going to see Robin Williams ripping off your material all too soon.
Hey, no, definitely not.
Right, Robin is notorious for being heard and being heard in the back of the club and laughing louder than anybody. And whenever a comic hears Robin laughing, they're going, "Oh, great, he's going to be using that now."
Yeah, there it goes. Well, he tells so many jokes in one breath that I think he needs to steal because he's told about 16 jokes in 4 seconds.
And the best thing about Robin's material is there's no way that anybody is ever able to repeat it at the water cooler the next day at work.
No chance,
It goes by so fast. It's like, he was really funny. What'd he do? I don't know, but I was laughing all night long.
Yeah, guaranteed. And he goes through the most water I've ever seen a human being drink in an hour set. It's probably 7 bottles of water. I guess he's throwing most of it around the stage, but yeah, he's amazing.
I actually, when I got started in radio in San Francisco in the 70s, I was working at a radio station, the FM rock station in San Francisco, that kind of started the whole FM rock routine. And we were doing we had a relationship with a lot of comics and clubs. And that's when Robin was getting started. And I was at one of the first clubs, the Boarding House in San Francisco. He performed, which was outrageous. I was at a party one night where he was doing his stand-up to a, I swear to God, he was doing it to a lampshade. And I was at a benefit concert for a friend who passed away that Robin was headlining, and we got to sit in the front row, and I had a cast on my leg, and Robin started doing a bit about white guys playing basketball, and he looked over at me and said, "What's wrong with your leg?" And I said, "I sprained my ankle playing basketball." And then he took my crutches and did 5 minutes on my crutches.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I think him and Steve Martin are got to be the two best guys just to like riff. And I think that's why with their movie roles, and a director will just say, okay, talk cool. about this elevator door for as long as possible. And it's amazing. You know, I really like, I do not have that talent on board. I can't believe how good those boys are at improv.
Yeah. Yeah. He is remarkable. You know, Bobby Slayton, the Bulldog. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. So here's another one for you. When I was starting out in radio here, I was working the morning show. I was the morning show producer at this radio station, and it really didn't pay me that well. I had just graduated college. I started working at the radio station as an intern, and then they hired me on. I stayed on for 2.5 years. And I would get off work. I had to be at work at 5:30 in the morning. And I'd be done, I'd run around doing things for other people. I'd be done by 11 o'clock that morning. So I got a second job, and from noon to 6, I was working in a record store. Remember records?
I do remember records.
You remember hearing about them.
Well, yeah, I remember my dad telling me about them.
Right, exactly. So I worked at a record store in a big office complex, the Embarcadero in San Francisco, and Bobby Slayton was starting in comedy, and I was starting in radio, and we worked together at this record store.
Oh, no chance. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. You and I'll get off air because I have stories about Dana Carvey. I went to college with Michael Pritchard, who won stand-up comedy, is a friend. So I've had a lot of relationship with different comics, and I just love being around comics because I get it. And there are so many different types of styles for comedy. There are storytellers, there are people who just feed off the audience, there are joke tellers, and you are just one of those guys that just does real life stories. You just tell your stories of your life.
Yeah, I'd say so. Where I grew up doing stand up in Western Canada, a lot of us have storytelling style. So I'm definitely a storyteller with a little bit of conversational humor. I talk to the audience quite a bit, and then sync stories in between a bit. So but yeah, it's very much this style, Western Canadian, sort of that drawler, sort of stoner pacing, and so that's how I'd describe it for sure.
And so you do allow the audience to chime in?
Oh yeah. I talk to the audience quite a bit, and for me, I guess the trick being is if you can ask them a few questions that you know is going to load it into the story or point it into that direction, is sort of my style. And then it all sort of seems conversational, like you're just sort of hanging out at a barbecue having a beer with the stand-up is sort of my goal, just completely comfortable. And that's definitely my style.
Oh, well, why are Canadians so funny? Great comedy comes out of Canada. Great comedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a competitive circuit, because I would say now that we're getting, there's probably only 27 clubs across the whole country, and it's a huge country. So, if you want to get into it, you got to beat a lot of guys out. So the guys that are ready to, the professionals we have that are going to the United States. I live in England. I live in the UK. A lot of us end up moving over there as well. But by the time you go, you're road hardened. I was working 10 years before I made my move to the UK. And I also have a visa for the States as well. But so the comics you're seeing are started when they were 18, and they've been chewing nails up here. It's kind of like Russia, Rocky, you know, Rocky IV training in Russia. Because the gigs are rough, like it's mostly bars in northern Canada, and you got to be pretty sharp, you know.
Yeah. So I guess the goal for Canadian comics is to make it to the United States, and the goal for United States comics, because you're an American, United States comics is to get a sitcom.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Darn you, Paul Seinfeld. You so everyone wants to be Seinfeld.
Yeah, everybody wants that. And the new one is Louis now. Louis C.K.'s got the best.
Oh, man.
And he's got the best deal with HBO, you know, complete freedom to do whatever he wants. So I'd say that's sort of the new thing everybody's after. But yeah, for us Canadians, just getting down to the U.S. and not driving on snow roads is basically like if we have a road trip in California, we're just like, oh my goodness, I've hit the big time, you know. So yeah, and the UK is also a good move for us as well. The visas come a little bit easier, and you know, there's 300 clubs in London alone, 300 comedy clubs. So it's there's a ton of work out there.
I can imagine just applying for a visa in the United States is going to be funny. It's like, and what is your profession? I'm a comedian. Okay, go ahead, make me laugh.
You know what? Your border guards are so intense, and they do ask you, because my visa is for it's funny. So it's a sports stars and entertainer visa. So it says a visa of extraordinary talent, which is hilarious. I just basically tell dick jokes. But
who's Dick?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Circumcision. Yeah. Never mind.
Circumcision dogs. Yeah. But most border guards, and they're intense. Like your border guards are, I mean, and they'll look at you with those serious eyes and be like, so what makes you extraordinary? And I'll be like, well, a stand-up comic. And they say, tell me a joke every time.
Do they really?
And it's, yeah.
Well,
and
I'm
it's
not a joke teller.
Yeah. More of a storyteller.
So you say, you really want to hear about my adult circumcision?
yeah, that'd get me waved through pretty quick, I suppose.
Yeah, right. Like, never mind.
Oh my goodness, yeah. But yeah, the visas for the Americans are tough. You have to prove that you're
funny.
Funny and the top 5% of your field in your country before they'll give you a visa. So
what? How do you quantify top 5%? I mean, it's not like your golf scorecard.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm a 13 handicap comedian. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I got a really funny elevator joke. But for me, I'd won a competition that a lot of Americans enter too. It's a televised for the Comedy Network called the Great Canadian Laugh Off, and it starts, I think, with 163 competitors, and the winner gets $25,000. So I lucked out and won it in 2007. So that put me in a position where I could prove I was the top 5% at that time. So
yeah, but you haven't been funny since 2007.
No, and the money's long gone too.
and how do they judge a comedy competition? I know that they have the San Francisco Stand-Up Comedy Festival and annual each year. And I said Mike Pritchard, you know, won back in the 80s, and he's still riding that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a big one. The San Francisco is a huge competition. That, Seattle and Boston are your three big ones, but San Francisco is the biggest. And, well, what they do is on the preliminary nights, it's judged by radio DJs and local stand-up bookers and even like right down to like bar managers and waitresses. So whoever they can dig up to judge, and they'll judge it by audience response, original material, and then there's time constraints as well. If you go over your time, you get docked. If you go under your time, you get docked. And that's basically how they do it, just by different criteria. And then when you're in the finals of the competition, when you're like the top five, then they start bringing in, somebody from the Comedy Network. I mean, or a booker for David Letterman And then,
yeah, now that to me is valid. Having a disc jockey there, you know, it's like if there's anybody more insecure than stand-up comics, it's disc jockeys.
Yeah. Is that right?
You tell me.
Yeah,
do we not look at Larry David or any stand-up comic going, wow, you guys are so insecure.
Oh, man. Yeah,
is
yeah.
Is it not true? I mean, stand-up comics are pretty insecure. It's like, I'm funny, aren't I? Yeah. Was that good? I mean, I know, when like if I see Bobby Slayton after a show, he'll come, was that funny? Was that good? How was that? Was that funny? So, yeah, Bobby, you were very funny. Really? Was I funny? Tell me, what was funny?
Yeah, what part did you like the best?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Is that good? How was my bit? Yeah. Is that good? Did you like this bit? I heard you do it. You don't have to do it again.
Oh, for sure. And that I'd say, well, if you have this, if you feel the need to be in front of people and talk about the things, like talk about, you know, your life situations, and there's definitely something wrong with you. I don't know what it is, if it's insecurity, but it's one running theme with all this, all my friends in stand-up. There's some sort of need that you're trying to fill to stand up and talk about your adult circumcision, you know?
Okay, so there is audience participation in your show. It's real life stories. How many times has somebody in your audience raised their hand and said, why? In regards to your opening bit, your adult superstition. Circumcision. Your adult bris, as the tribe would call it. Why did you do an adult circumcision?
I get that question all the time. So we end up talking about my unit for about 40 minutes after. They're very interested. Why I did it, a lot of people think it's cosmetic, but it was there's actually, if one in about 1,000 guys will have this, it needs to be done. Your foreskin is too tight, so it...
Okay, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
good. That's really funny, Paul. It's really funny. I'm glad that we're, you know, I had the exercise physiologist on last time. Yeah, it was about as technical I want to get. No, so let's go there.
Yeah,
okay,
there you go.
So let's talk golf. Let's talk golf. Now, the way I discovered you is when I was up in British Columbia on vacation this summer. And this is kind of appropriate. When I was playing at the Kelowna Golf Club, I was in the bathroom, and while I was sitting there, there was a flyer on the you know, it's like graffiti, but there was a flyer on the wall saying, "Coming next month, the Hackers," and a dinner show beforehand, and then the Hackers. And I'm like, now this is an interesting idea. Did I get this straight? They, at this club, they're having, you know, come to the club, have dinner, and then after dinner, we have a comedy troupe that's doing golf humor.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing is that I guess it wouldn't be, it's four stand-up comics together. Mm-hmm. And after the show, so we do a UK style of show. We each, there's an MC that does 20 minutes, and then we all do 20 minutes of stand-up afterwards. So the show's about an hour and a half to 2 hours, because usually, you know, you have fun, you go a little long. And we do talk about golf, because obviously we're on tour, we're golfing every day, we're frustrated because we're playing horribly, and so we're talking to golf. But it is a stand-up show, so the theme... it's not like theme specific to golf, and so we are doing our acts and stuff as well. But it's four comics that love golf and get out there and do the Hacks tour.
What a scam! So you guys get to go and you go to these really nice places, and during the day you play golf, and at night you work.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Golf is part of the deal for you.
Usually it's golf, the carts included,
That's funny.
And of course for the show we demand a meal and free beer. So it's a pretty rough week of work.
How's your bookings? Do you get work? How long have you been doing this?
The tour, this was the second year of the tour. The exciting thing is when the first year we did it, I would book out theaters and get the golf courses as sponsorships for the theater shows, and we would run the production ourselves and sell tickets, because up in Canada here, all of the guys on the tour are just for laughs veterans. We've all had our stand-up specials on the Comedy Network, so we can bring a few people in. So four of us are enough to sell a theater. So This year it moved into more doing the shows in the clubhouse of the golf course, which started off with Black Mountain up there, and we found that is a lot more successful because it's something different for the members, and especially at these more posh golf courses, it's just a completely wild idea to them. So we moved more into that, and it's working out great.
Oh, fabulous idea. Congratulations. I'm glad it's working out. Do a lot of golfers, take two, do a lot of comedians spend their days playing golf, or are they just drinking and smoking pot all day? Or they are all of it.
All of it, yeah. Well, actually, I'm friends with a ton of comics that play golf, and I think
rock and rollers and comedians and baseball, you know, guys who work mostly at night, that golf is a great thing for them to do during the day.
For sure. And like you said, like, it keeps you out of trouble. You know, instead of sitting at home and doing nothing or getting high or whatever you're into, you're out there in the sunshine, you're with buddies. So I mean, you should see how many comics are asking me to be a part of the tour. And I got, you know, a lot of good friends out there, so it's tough to disappoint them. But yeah, I mean, there is a lot of guys that play, tons of guys.
And so the four guys that you have in this show, and the show is called?
It's called The Hacks Comedy.
The Hacks. Okay. Yeah. With an X or a CKS?
CKS. Okay. X. Yeah. Because hack is kind of, it's a pun of kind of like a hacky comic, you know? So The Hacks.
Right. Oh, right. A comic is a hack and a golfer is a hacker. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is it you got four guys, the same four guys that travel around to do this?
Last year, we had two new guys on tour this year. One of the guys is working in Asia right now. Kerry Unger couldn't make it because he's in Asia. And another guy, Kevin Stobo, we run a tournament as we're doing this tour. We're keeping track of our scores and doing a tournament between ourselves and doing the updates on Facebook and Twitter and stuff so people can follow along. But the tournament's named after Kevin. It's called the Kevin Stobo Classic. And
insecure.
yeah, for sure. But he couldn't make it this year. So we had two good buddies, Damon Schritter, who was the first Canadian to ever win the Seattle International Comedy Competition, and another guy, Tim Nutt. And so I think we'll get a couple of new guys in every year, so the audiences in the Okanagan and stuff don't get sick of the same four guys always performing. But I guess because I put on the tour, I'll probably stay on it every year, I imagine.
I hope so. And you just primarily play in Canada?
No. I live in London, in England.
No, I meant the Hacks. Do the Hacks primarily tour in Canada, or you also play England, London, and England, and the United States? Where do you play?
No, this is only the second year, so it's all Canada dates. It's,
okay.
And more specifically, in the Rockies and in the Okanagan and a little bit on the island, Vancouver Island. But
So you're primarily in British Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And is that because golf doesn't necessarily happen 12 months a year in Canada?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And the golf courses in the Rockies are, the Bay Area, you guys have, I work down in the Bay Area as a comic, and I take a week off to go golfing there every year as well. And I would put your golf courses, pound for pound. But the scenery and the views and the quality of the golf courses in the Rockies in Canada is top notch. Yeah.
I was blown away how beautiful the Okanagan area was. I was absolutely blown away. It's like the secret. We're like, we discovered this. It was breathtaking. And actually, there's if people haven't checked it out, I threw up on our Golf Smarter TV YouTube channel a little bit of a tour of the golf course that we played. And we even interviewed the head teaching pro, the GM, at that course. And so when are you going to make this a year-long tour that you can come to the States and play the southern part of the U.S.? And Can people get in touch with me so I can put them in touch with you to book some gigs in their private courses? Or do you play public courses as well?
We played both public and private. Absolutely. They can get in touch with you and you can fire them off my way, that would be delightful. And the sooner I can play golf all year, the better. So let's get these phone calls flying in.
Absolutely. And I will, I'm going to become the booking agent for the hacks in the United States. That is now my new role.
That sounds perfect. So, yeah, we'll talk percentages when we finish up here.
No, I think we should make this a public conversation. Put you on. Okay, so give me some golf comedy. What's your favorite story? Your favorite golf story? Not that people are going to be, you know, if they hear it a second time, they'll go, I know this bit.
Yeah,
they'll kill
yeah.
your punchline.
Well, I'm going to take my favorite golf story is for sure Damon, the guy that came on tour with us this year. But he was playing down in Mexico. He was at a wedding, and they went and played a course down in Mexico. And you've probably played down there. You know, they insist you have a caddy with you, and so he hit
what
the ball.
Part of Mexico? Because I haven't had to worry about that.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. Well, anyway, maybe it was this specific golf course, but you get a caddy.
Yep.
And so he hit the ball in the rough, and they go down there. It's right beside a lake, and there's a 8-foot alligator laying there, and his ball is about what would you say 12 feet in front of this alligator. And Damon's obviously like, okay, I'm not going to play this ball. Let's go up in the fairway. I'll take a drop. And the caddy said, no, very lazy this type of year, very lazy, it's okay. So he walked down there and really nervous about hitting the ball. Of course, he catches the leading edge and sculls it and hits the alligator right in the ribs. He's not too pleased about it. He cranks his head and hisses at him, and Damon freezes. And all he can hear is the caddy yelling, "Andale, andale, andale!" And he's running up the fairway. That's got to be my favorite golf story: is Damon cranking an alligator in the ribs.
And what about your own personal golf stories? What kind of golfer are you?
We were talking before, you know, when I was younger, I used to be able to play all right. I played in tournaments and stuff, and I mean, nothing too serious.
Likely story. Yeah, when I was younger, I could play well.
Yeah.
That's what they all say.
Yeah, for sure. But these days, I was just out this morning. I shot an 87 this morning.
So
I'm going
suck.
Out. Right after this round, I'm going to go play. There's a Jack Nicklaus course up here called Northern Bear, so I'm going to go play right after I hang up with you. And
wait a minute, you said you played this morning?
Yeah, I played this morning, yeah.
And you're going, and now we're going done? Is that why you sent me an email going, can we talk immediately instead of waiting? Because you had a second round scheduled?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, I got a second round.
Okay,
going.
So where can we fill out a job application to be a comic so that we can play golf twice a day and still get work in?
I know, yeah. Well, I just have to fire through emails, but I don't get a chance to play much in the UK. So when I'm at home, the first 10 days I was on this, I think I played 12 rounds in 10 days. So yeah, you got to make sure you get out there and enjoy it, you know?
Oh, man. All right, give me, I want more bits. I want more golf comedy.
Okay, well, when I was working at the golf course when I was younger, you would get the fleet carts in, so you'd get a big semi-trailer coming in. They bring, you know, 50 or 100 extra golf carts for big tournaments, and our job was to meet these guys late at night and help them get the golf carts off the semi-trailers and park them. So all the guys wanted, we were young and we thought it was really cool to drive the carts and everything. And one of the semi-trailer drivers taught us how to pull the governor, like the speed control on the engines. If you would just stick a T in there and open it up, and now the golf carts is going, you know, 25, 30 miles per hour. They have the ability to go that fast. So he taught us that. And so we're finished our job. We pulled a governor on the golf cart. I had, let's see, I think there was six of us on one golf cart. and it was an old school one without a roof on it. An old Yamaha one. So we're flying, going 25 miles an hour down a par five fairway. And it was wet grass. So one of my buddies said, slam on the brake and let's do a 360. And so I did it. And we rolled that cart twice. We rolled it twice. It was amazing. I had friends flying all over the place. And a good thing no one was hurt. I think we were above.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I'm a parent. And I hear stories like that, and the first thing is like, don't do that. You'll get hurt. It's like, you know, but no, we're teenagers. That was awesome, man. Let's do it again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
especially if one of your buddies gets hurt, then it's really funny.
Yeah, then it's really cool. Yeah, for sure. And you're right. We flipped that cart back on its wheels and did it over and over again, just laughing and having a great time. So, man, but you get into fun stories like that when you work at a golf course and what goes on afterwards. It's just a riot, you know. In the morning dew, if you get there early enough, you go cart water skiing. You put a crazy carpet behind the cart, tie a rope to it and go cart water skiing.
But you're not on water. You're just on the grass.
On the dew. Yeah, on the dew. Yeah.
I have a friend that part of his, when they graduated, I think it was from high school, and they got a bunch of guys together to just go out because they had nothing to do that summer. They went out and played golf, and they were just slamming their drinks, doing shots all day long. And the 18th hole, they put the golf cart in the lake. and one of the guys like, no, my phone, my wallet, and he dove back in the water and retrieved his stuff. And then when the marshal came out, they're like, it just took off on us.
Oh my goodness.
And they got away with it.
No way. He believed it?
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're really sorry. You guys okay? Yeah, man, but this golf cart, what the hell happened? We were like playing and you know, it's like, you know, and of course they're really drunk and they're only 18 years old. Like, they were really, we just don't know what happened.
And they didn't see all the beer cans floating beside the golf cart?
I think they were doing shots all day. Well, that's okay, kids. We'll retrieve the golf cart out of the water, and you guys just go home. And you are you okay? Yeah.
Oh man, amazing! That's when you're glad you're not the guy that signed the waiver that morning. You know.
Right. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Wow. Well, Paul, I'm really glad I tracked you down, and I would love to help you find different opportunities to play here in the States, because especially here in the Bay Area, I want to find a way to bring you out here and play a couple different courses over a week or so, and we'll play golf together on a regular basis. I just think that would be so much fun. And, you know, I know that private courses especially, you know, they'll have music. You know, they'll have a live jazz combo. Come out for dinner, and we're going to have live music that night. You know, boring. And maybe they have a speaker, or even the head pro will answer a couple of questions. You know, but I think having a comedy night at a golf course is a great, great idea.
I think so too. Yeah, and the members just seem to really love it.
Especially because you're doing comedy. You're doing golf comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's perfect.
And it's a great even, and you're getting a really good bang for your buck too, because you're getting four guys that are tour internationally. A lot of us, like a couple of us, you know, I've been to Iraq and Afghanistan doing troop tours, so you're getting a really good show. And. And the reason you're getting that is because we're all golf freaks, and so we don't really care about, if it's going to be financially viable. If we're playing golf and drinking beer and eating, we're happy. So it's a high quality show. It's just a killer. It's really fun.
Oh, so when you were in Iraq and Afghanistan, are you doing golf jokes?
Oh, no, definitely not. More.
You're doing circumcision jokes.
Yeah, more, and
you're doing a lot of pee-pee jokes.
Yeah, blue collar stuff for sure, absolutely. But those are fun tours too. And when I went to Iraq was an American tour, it's amazing. And again, you're not doing too much time. It's only a 20-minute or 30-minute set. But those men and women and they're young and they like to hear drinking stories and stuff like that. So it's definitely more blue collar, but a riot nonetheless.
Yeah, and they're probably incredibly appreciative.
Oh yeah, you spend more time just talking and signing headshots and stuff. Even though I'm not a famous comic at all, but still everybody wants a autograph. And you're up there for 30 minutes, and after that you're there for 3 hours after hearing stories and laughing and chatting. So they really really appreciate it, and so do we. I mean the people say, oh, how would you ever go to Iraq? Well, we're never in danger, and I mean we're more appreciative of what they're doing for us than what we're there doing for them,
So wait a minute. When you said you're signing headshots, you're not doing more circumcision bits, right?
Everybody gets a little piece of foreskin.
Oh. So when you yell four, it's like. Oh man. Well, where's your website? How do people check out some of your material?
Go to www.paulmeyerhoff.
You don't need www anymore.
You're right. Yeah, people are understanding of that.
Need to type it in. You just you really don't. Why do I have to keep telling people this? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
PaulMeyerhoff.com, and I'm gonna spell the last name. It's a weird Norwegian name. So the last name is MYREHAUG. It's Meyerhoff. .com, and you can also find me Twitter and Facebook on that as well, and Google, however you spell Meyerhoff, there's only one last name, so it'll eventually point you in the right direction.
So like someone types in Paul Meyerhoff in Google and you come up number one?
Yeah, number one.
Wow, that's a great feeling, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's a strange last name. So
yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't say 72 million results. It just says three.
Yeah, three.
Paul Meyer. Yeah, we got three: Google, Facebook, and Twitter.
That's right.
His website. Oh man! Well, listen, I am definitely gonna bring you back. This was way too much fun. I'm gonna want to have you on the Golf Smarter podcast again and again because I just love talking comedy and golf. And boy, what better one to do it with?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a pleasure, Fred. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you saw my face in a bathroom. That's really, it worked out perfectly.
That's going to be a bit. So if you are interested in bringing the hacks to a course near you, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. Let me know where you are, geographically speaking, and who you'd like me to contact in your area, and we'll try to bring the hacks to your local course. I cannot wait to get them down here, and I'd like to try to get them in a bunch of places. Speaking of Hey Fred, I wanted to share an email I received this week from Mike Persky of Illinois. He says, Hey Fred, I just want to let you know that I checked out bonobos.com after hearing you praise it on the podcast. Since I'm headed down to Cabo San Lucas next month, I actually ordered a pair of lightweight tropical khakis. I must say, you're right. They are comfortable and extra roomy in the waist. I can't remember the last time I wore loose-fitting pants. I'll let you know how they work out when I get back from Mexico. Thanks, Mike, for sharing. And of course, thanks for checking out bonobos.com. And if you've never shopped at bonobos.com before, click on their ad at golfsmarter.com and get 20% off your entire order when you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. Be like Mike. Check out all their styles and make sure you see their newly expanded line of golf pants with the mulligans and the tee times and their two new golf sweaters. Those are the names of the pants, really. Mulligans and tee times. Check them out yourself. And if any part of your order doesn't fit the way you want it when you get them, send them back and Bonobos will pay for the return shipping. Bonobos.com, spelled Bonobos. Or just click on their ad at golfsmarter.com. Well, I'm almost all moved into my new house. But as we speak, I'm still working from a plastic folding table in a spare bedroom. You could probably hear the sound bouncing off these glass windows that I'm staring at, watching traffic fly by. But hopefully by next episode, the soundproofing will be up. My equipment will be working properly, and we'll start our new life together. And what a life it will be, because coming up next, we've got two episodes with our putting guru from puttingzone.com, Jeff Mangum, followed by two episodes with Barney Adams, the creator of the industry-changing Adams Tight Life Fairway Woods. We talk about the golf industry, entrepreneurialism, his book, The Wow Factor, and mostly his thoughts and input on the USGA's and PGA's Tee It Forward program, which is determined to make golf more fun and faster for every level of golfer. To those of you who are yet to join Golf Smarter for members only, today's show is my gift for being absent for a couple of episodes during my move. I feel so guilty when I do that to you. It's also my invitation for you to become not just a member, but in essence, you get producer credits for helping to keep Golf Smarter alive and tracking towards episode number 400 and beyond. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button and just say that if you've been writing to me over the last week or two, and I apologize for not getting back to you. I'm always very good about that, but things have just been a little hectic. But please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.